studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
Rated R for repetitive.
Okay. R for repetitive. No, we'll make sure it isn't. Did you know that oil's going to go up to $150? A barrel. That probably relates to $5 in the. You know, it's we're probably pretty lucky. We're actually pretty low on the oil in the at the pump cost.
Yeah, and if it's going to go up again, then I missed out on buying the futures last time. I think I'll take advantage of it this time.
I wish I could buy some futures. I have no future.
Yeah. I have no money.
I have no money to buy it. That's the problem.
And
yeah.
In case anybody happens to be tuning in right now, if you're wondering who we are and what we're doing here, sometimes we wonder that too. But anyways, I'm Robin, that's Cliff, and you can be on here too by dialing Cliff, tell them.
646-721-9887. That's 646-721-9887.
See, he's got it to a wrap. You can call collect or direct. Actually, just call direct because we won't take collect. 646-721-9887. If you are one of the thousands of people that listen to us weekly from the downloads and you happen to miss the program live, you can always send us an email, talk@krbnradio.com. The chat room is open, as always, during the program, and so you can always join us there, too. And see what's
I don't think we could take collect, could we?
No, we can't.
That's interesting. The reason I brought up the oil thing is because we're about to go to war again. Everybody's getting all upset about what's happening, and everybody's yelling at Obama, and everybody's telling us we need to go to war, and when that's going to happen, the price of oil is going to go up because Syria will cut off all of our oil along with a couple of other people, and when they do that, then we're going to be paying more for the per barrel, which is just absurd because we have so much oil on our own land that we could be drilling. That we could be drilling for, that we don't need to pay that kind of money for.
I know, it's all ridiculous. And even Canada wants to give us, well, they don't give it to us, but the pipeline, they want to sell us oil, and we're.
Well, now wait a minute. Wait, yeah, come on. Let's face it. What? That pipeline that's coming down from Canada goes through the United States to Texas and out to other countries. That is not for us. Everybody keeps talking about how we'd do so much better to have that pipeline. That pipeline is not for us. We do not get them oil from that.
Then why are we even bothering?
That's we aren't. That's the one thing that Obama is doing that might be okay. I mean, that pipeline is to go from Canada and is to go down through the United States. We get money. We make money from it because people are hired to build it. People are hired to maintain it. But the oil is not for us. That's to go directly to Texas and to be shipped overseas to other countries. So that's so stupid.
That makes just about as much sense as borrowing money from China on one hand and giving it out to other countries on the other hand.
Well, no, it doesn't. That's actually, we do make money off of that pipeline, but not from the oil. We make money from the maintenance of it, from the building of it. I mean, we put hundreds of people to work to build a pipeline. Then we keep hundreds of people working for years and years and years to maintain, because those pipelines don't just run by themselves forever without developing any kind of a leak or anything, and they have to be tested. I don't know how often they do it. But I have heard that they every month have to go take a look at every inch of the pipeline every month, at least once a month, to make sure that there's no leaks or seepage or anything like that, because that's the kind of thing that can screw up the country and the countryside. And
if what you say is true, I guess it's ridiculous because, you know, we're still at the mercy of other countries for our oil. Because, you know, like you said, you know, we have North Dakota, we got Wyoming and Texas and other places.
The only reason we're at mercy to other countries is because our president puts us that way.
Yeah.
We don't need to. I mean, we've got oil offshore oil, for example, hundreds of millions of barrels of it. We've got oil in Alaska. Now that's true; it would have to be pipelined down to us, but we have plenty of it up there. We have plenty of oil in other parts of this country, and granted, now the shale oil that you're talking about that we were getting up there whatever those states are, that's more expensive oil. But even then, it's not $150 a barrel. So. If you get right down to it, if it gets anywhere near that expensive, we should be going for other things. We have air, you know, the air that the windmills. We have various alternative fuel sources that we can use. For that matter, we've got more natural gas than all other countries, I think, combined. Why aren't we doing more with that?
I don't know. And early in the program, it sounds like we have a lot of natural gas. Ba-dum-bum.
Oh. All right.
Yeah.
I'll keep my mouth shut then. Good luck.
Thanks. It is frustrating, though. I mean, you know, we have the resources that we don't need to be dependent. And yet we always... It seems like we strive to keep the American people prisoner to other countries' influence.
Well, the thing is, it's like Mexico. We're giving them money to not mine, but to search for the oil, to find the oil, to get the oil, and then sell it to us. Now we give them the money to get the oil that they sell back to us. Where's the logic in that? It's just, I don't know. And we do that in more than one instance, not just with oil, but with other things. I mean, it sounds terrible. I'm one who's constantly talking about how terrible Obama is, but what we're talking about now is not really his fault. Our Senate and House and whoever are aware of this. I hope they're aware of this. Either that or they're as aware of it as they are aware of anything. And maybe they're not aware of anything. I don't know. But anyway, it doesn't need to happen that way. There's so many other ways we can do business.
Well, it's just like... Imagine this when they put in the interstate freeways and everything. If they were to try this, is how things are screwed up with the if they had the EPA and everything back then when they put in the interstates, it would never happen. The CCCs, which was helped in the Great Depression, was then ruled afterwards as not constitutional, so they couldn't help anybody. But you know, we screw ourselves over. Is where I'm getting at in all this, that we got so many regulations and everything, and nothing gets done.
Well, that's true, except that if we didn't have, what I want to say here, at that particular time we had no regulations, but even if we were going to do it now, we'd find a way to do it. We'd change the regulations or we'd do something different. I mean, we'd find a way to build those highways and those freeways and such, some way or another. I mean, however we did it, it would be made legal.
Well, by the time we got through doing all of our land studies, and we'd probably come up and go, oh, there's a wetland. We don't want to kill mosquitoes. Can't do that here.
That's something that I think is going to go away. I mean, we're going to change. Our whole system is going to change because we are getting too many roadblocks in the roads that we're building with. Anyway, we're getting too many roadblocks, too many places that we are being stopped and halted to save some owl somewhere. Those roadblocks are going to go away because when we want something, we'll do it. That's just all there is to it. I'm a poet and don't know it. And we'll do it somehow or another. We'll change the rules, change the laws, whatever. We'll decide that maybe some wetland, we've got to decide whether the wetland is more important or having a highway from here to wherever is more important. And the fortunate thing is we've got most of our highways already built, so we don't have to worry about that. And you were a little early, I think, because I remember them building the highways. I was in the fifth grade or something like that when they were building I-5. I remember it only too well because I used to live about two blocks from the I-5. Well, it wasn't I-5 then. It was nothing then. But then when they started building it, for years, I lived next to a big thing. It was going bang, 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 building the freeway.
Well, you also had one of the first Model A's too, didn't you?
No. I see this. Your timing is a little bit weird. You're putting things... You know, Model A's were not in the 50s, which is when they built I-5. I had a 51 Ford, which is very close to a Model A, but it was quite a bit different. And but it was, you know, we're talking about 10 or 12 years later. And so consequently, and a lot of things can change in 10 or 12 years, huge changes.
Yeah, like the internet, which is that fad that people are using right now.
I was watching something on television where they were talking about something that was 50 years ago, and 50 years ago we didn't have the internet.
No, people actually got out and talked to each other.
Well, they were talking about that. They were talking about building schools or building something or other, and they literally had to go out and talk to people door to door.
What?
To tell them about it. They literally had to walk from door to door and alert these people of what was going to happen. And that, can you imagine? I mean, they were doing that for a whole state. I mean, that's a lot of work.
You mean back when spam was actually a food? Well,
yeah,
food,
yeah.
You know.
It was a good food then. Actually, I kind of like spam, but we won't go to that. That's another story.
Yes. How things have changed.
Oh, yes.
I used to have a tethered telephone that went... And now everybody has one in their pocket. Or two, in my case.
And they go beep, beep.
Yes. Sorry, they play a little tune. Before the tune thing, when one went off, everybody in the room went and picked up their phone.
You know, and everybody in the room talked to the person on the other end because they were party lines and not separate lines. See, it's amazing because now I don't even have a home phone.
No, most people don't anymore.
Not really. I mean, it's amazing how I don't want to say how fast because it really doesn't seem that fast until you're looking back on it and realizing how old you are.
Well, speaking of old, 646-721-9887. We got a few topics that we are actually going to talk about today, even though we're already 14 minutes into the program, but we thought we'd tell you about anyways. And if you don't like our topics and you have your own topic, call us and give us your topic, and we'll talk about your topic and along with our topic so that the topic we'll talk about as being the topic of the day. Don't ask me to repeat that.
I won't. I was taking a drink.
4672-1-9887. A couple things going on. One of the main topics, or did you want to get to the sidebar first?
The sidebar?
Yeah, the side topic.
Okay, let's go to the sidebar.
Okay,
Let's approach the bench.
All right. Your Honor.
No. Period. No.
What's a Ute?
What's a Ute? No, it's mute. That's moot.
The Ute.
I'm lost. I don't know what a Ute is. It's an animal, right?
No, it's from My Cousin Vinny, the movie. It's from a movie.
Oh.
Anyways, I have a dream.
Oh, okay.
Of a different president. No. Actually, on a semi-serious note, yes, we can, semi-seriously, I guess it's anniversary of Martin Luther King. Of course, every city has a street named for him. And, of course, we can't honor somebody that has a shorter name, so we have to have a three-foot-long street sign.
Actually, everybody's calling it MLK now.
Yeah.
Everybody's getting... as we get older, and we're not really forgetting him, we're just setting him aside sort of a little bit. You know, speaking of Martin Luther King, Mr. Obama has decided that Martin Luther King would like his Affordable Care law.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he, because he understood health care and health security and is not a privilege. It's something that in a country as wealthy as America, that we should all have access to health care.
Well, good.
Well, we should, yes, but I'm afraid...
Let's not bankrupt America while doing it.
Well, you know, it's got to be paid for some way.
Well, like I said, you know, we're a wealthy enough country that if we start focusing on our own stuff, we could actually truly have affordable health care without having penalties because we can't afford to have health care. So we're going to go ahead and get penalized a couple $1,000 for not having health care, even though we can't afford not to have it.
Well, I'm going to have to get upset about the money that we're still giving away to different countries. For example, we're still giving a $1.5 billion to Egypt. Now, I have nothing against Egypt. Egypt is having a problem right now. Egypt doesn't want our money. And I think we're doing more problem in Egypt with giving them that money because we're giving it to the military. And the military has taken over the operation of the country twice now.
Right.
That's how they made it the first time, because we gave them the money, and they had the money, and they had the facilities to do it. And then they kicked out the truly and duly elected president and took over again. And do you think they would have done that if it wasn't for that $1.5 billion that we keep promising them? We're so bent on that $1.5 billion or the money, period, that we won't even call what's happening over there a military coup or a coup of any kind. Because if we call it a coup, we couldn't give them the money.
Right.
Now, who made that rule? We did. That's stupid. If we made that rule, we could change that rule.
Well, and our own government is going through the sequestures, and we lack of funding, or, you know, we're having trouble with funding, we're having to raise taxes. And, I mean, I'll be the first one to admit that I don't understand overseas politics. All I do understand is I've been poor all of my life, and I'd love to help my neighbor if I can, but, you know, if I can't even help myself, how can I help my neighbor?
Right, exactly. And the thing is, we're not even giving this money to people who care.
Right.
I mean, that's the thing that gets to me. The people that we're giving it to don't ask for it. They're not asking for it. They would probably ask for it if we didn't give it, because that would be... But we've got at least $1 trillion we're giving away without even thinking about it. And that $1 trillion, if spent here in the United States, which it could be, I mean, we're giving away let's say we're giving away $1.5 trillion. If we kept all but $500 billion of it, if we only gave away $500 billion and kept $1 trillion to spend in the United States, we could go a long ways on the health care and various and sundry different things, not just the healthcare, but I mean, there are a lot of things that we could pay for and we wouldn't have to worry about.
Well, if you think about it, in a way, the way Obamacare is set up, they don't want you to have your own insurance, because if you can't afford to have your own insurance, you have to pay the penalty, and if you're paying the penalty, you're subsidizing the people that don't have the insurance. And so basically, you're not getting insurance, but you're getting money so other people can have insurance.
Well, no matter what happens, that's going to happen, because we've got to pay for the care and feeding of Americans. And we, before this, before saying we had to have insurance, there were people who were making money and making enough money that they could spend a little bit on insurance, but they wouldn't. And so when they got sick, they depended on the free care, and we were giving it to them anyway.
Right.
So, you know, I'm to a certain extent, I have to admit, I'm one of those. I mean, I wasn't real big on insurance all my life. And then now that I am not, I got sick after I was on estate care. And so it was already going to be paid for. But if I'd gotten sick a couple years earlier, I would have been one of those people. I just barely made it to have to go to the hospital and have heart surgery after I was eligible to do it. So,
well, that gets back to, like I'm saying, is that we can have, I mean, this is what really irks me, is that I agree that we are a wealthy enough country that we can provide, even like Canada's example or whatever, or even just raise taxes a little bit to kind of cover for it, I mean, or whatever. But when you come out and just say, well, I feel that everybody should have health care, so I'm just going to pass a law mandating it. Well, there's a reason why we don't have health care. And here's the thing, is that people are going to get caught in the middle because of the economy. You know, either they have a job and they lose their job, so they... How many times, like with food stamps or other type of programs, where, well, I'm sorry, but you just made too much money gross last year, and even though, you know, you have no money, you're losing your home, and now you're counting on your tax refund, and because you don't have, you got a 3-month period where you can get away with not having health care before you have to pay the penalty, according to the law, and so if you fall into that gray area, and you're counting on that tax refund, or let's say you're the type of person that normally, you know, you're taking the maximum out of deductions anyways, and so normally at the end of the year you have to pay taxes. Now you're going to owe more money that you can't pay, and the IRS is going to come after you and start garnishing your wages if you have wages, or do what the IRS does, and you're going to have millions of people, or at least, well, probably millions of people that are going to get stuck in that gray area and owe money. And that's why I'm saying it's going to bankrupt America. In fact, 2014 is when it goes into effect. It starts going into effect. So you'll probably be getting, if you are working, you'll be getting a certificate from your insurance company as proof that you are in compliance.
Yeah.
In fact, I got a notice from the company I worked for, and it says that it says here, I'll read the paragraph real quick here. It says, remember, as part of the Affordable Care Act, ACA, also known as the Health Care Reform Act, you must have health insurance in 2016, whether you get it through the company, your spouse's employer, private insurance company, or the government. If you do not have health insurance, you will have to pay a penalty when you file your 2014 tax returns.
Yeah, this, the whole thing, that's the thing. Talking about a penalty is what scares people and what upsets people. If they would just simply say to hell with it and say, okay, you don't have to have insurance, it's going to be provided for you, and just make it a part of your thing. And to a certain extent, they're going to have to raise your taxes just a little bit. But it's going to be spread over so many people, they're not going to have to raise it very far. And taxes are going up every year anyway.
That's right.
And so people are not even going to notice it. Do it the way England does it. Everybody has insurance. Everybody. I mean, there's two things that I know of that I've read about books in England. One of the things is when you get turned, I don't know what year it is. I think it's 18 and maybe 16. But anyway, you automatically aren't covered by insurance of your own, not your parents. And also you have unemployment insurance. And so you can go on the dole. And consequently, you can live on your own. It's not going to be easy because they don't pay you very much. They don't pay it. For one thing, it takes this whole crap away from the states individually. I think the states should not, there are certain things that you the states should not be responsible for, and that's one of them. And it takes the responsibility away from the states and consequently gives it, God, I sit here and say this, and at the same time I hate it because I hate it when you have a federal government that's giving things out. I just don't like that. And yet, I can't. This is one place where I think it's necessary. The federal government has to be involved in this, and they have to supply the insurance for both cases. Whether you, if you're not working, you don't get a job right after school, you can go on unemployment. And it's paid for, but it's not very much. That's the thing. That's the difference. In England, you go on the dole, as it's called. Boy, you're not going to be happy. You're just barely going to eke out a living. Just barely going to exist.
But with unemployment here, you got to pay income tax on unemployment.
Yeah, but how much did you get in unemployment?
In Oregon, the maximum's like $500 before taxes a week.
$500 a week.
Before taxes.
Before taxes. Well, you're. It's a whole lot less than that. A whole lot less than that. Yeah.
The whole point is that there are better ways we can do this. Is we don't have to reinvent the wheels per se. You look at other countries. You take what works. And you don't use what doesn't work, and you design your system that, like you say, you have a general fund that this can come off of, and everybody can have insurance or subsidized insurance without costing people thousands of dollars a year. In fact, you know, if you think about it, if you go and purchase your own insurance, you're looking at anywhere from $300 to $700 or $800 a month, depending on how big your family is. Well, I don't. There's people like myself. I don't make a lot of money. I'm lucky to still have a home with just a little bit of money left over, not much. And I just pray that nothing happens to the house because I can't afford to fix it.
I was just going to say something to you about your house. This is now the time you should sell it because prices are up at the moment, up 15% to 20%. Over what they were last year, and they're going to go down again very soon. So now is the time if you should sell your house and get out from under it and either buy another one, a smaller house, or rent or whatever.
Oh, I can't.
Why?
Well, because thanks to the Obama administration, which is probably a good lead-in, it used to be you could go ahead and do a refi at the very 2 years after a bankruptcy. But he changed it to 4 years.
Yeah.
So I can't qualify because I got another year and a half more to go.
Boy, I just.
And so the worst part is that the interest rates now, I'm paying 5.5. You know, the interest rates down to 2.5-3% would save me a lot of money, but can't do it thanks to Mr. Obama.
Well, your 2.5-3% is long gone.
Yeah.
You missed it, sorry.
I missed it. I missed it because, like I said, the credit union I went to, she tried really hard to approve the loan, but, you know, she kept running into the federal restrictions. It's like, sorry, can't do it.
Yeah, I don't know. You get into that money thing, the financing. And there are so many different options you can take. And I don't even know if the people who are in the banks or working at the banks and work with the money, I don't even know if they know it. I don't know if they understand it. And so, yeah, it's hard to say.
Yes. Well, anyways, as we were getting into the segment, by the way, 646-721-9887. Again, we encourage you, if there's something on your mind, give us a call. We'll talk about just about anything, and we've proven that in the past. But one of the things that there's a new book coming out that is worth noting, and it's kind of the main topic today, and that as Congress is on vacation right now, which means that they're actually officially away from Washington instead of being on duty and not there.
Not doing anything.
Yeah. What is the bill? They've gone back to their respective states and having their little town hall meetings. And
they're still working, though.
They're still working, well, most of them. And the ones that do work. And what they're finding out in their little town hall meetings is that there's more and more of a movement, including a group called Overpass.org, which is, I guess, now in 17 states, where people have actually, and I've actually seen these people, they just basically stand up on overpass just holding up a sign saying impeach Obama. Well, the question that some congressmen are getting from their constituents during these town hall meetings is that they said that, well, to quote Representative Kerry, and I can't pronounce his last name, sorry, I'm not even going to try. He said, if I could write that bill and submit it, it would be a dream come true. I feel your pain, but he says it would. He doesn't have the evidence, and others feel that it wouldn't even make it through the Senate. Well, there's this, somebody came out and actually is writing a book. It's on Amazon.com now that has listed in detail some of the impeachable crimes that Obama has committed, because you can impeach a president if he's committed treason or broken the rule of law or that type of thing. So, but the problem is treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors are impeachable offenses. And but this book comes out and actually gives the facts and details, not just says opinions, you know, like the birther's opinion thing.
Yeah.
You know, this actually comes out and gives details.
Well, there are legal, well, maybe not legal even sometimes, but there are real reasons why one would want to impeach. And there are groups that would like to impeach President Obama for various and sundry different things. So, I don't know. It's important. It's something you should look up.
Exactly. Well, I would think that a first clue
on any
government representative, with the keyword representative, is that when they first come out and say, or since they hint that the Constitution gets in their way, there should be red flags going all over the place, because that's when they say that the Constitution is a living document, or like the Supreme Court judge mentioned when she was overseas, that, well, it's an old document, and I really wouldn't recommend it. Then you know what? Then you shouldn't be there
in a position to recommend anything.
Exactly. Or to rule on constitutional issues if you don't believe in it. And that's why we got a system like we're talking about, Obamacare, because they ruled that originally that, and the only reason why you got this penalty is because when Obamacare was first introduced, it was not a tax. But then they changed it at the last minute. It's a tax, because in the Constitution that the government can charge you a tax. So they just changed the wording. But
it's just like the other things. If you, depending on what you call it, we have laws that say you can do this or do that. So you just change what you call it.
Right. Exactly.
You don't try to change the law. The thing is, I think we should try to change the law. I think we should have to be required to change the law, not just change the name of the the product, so to speak, the bill, and to get around it.
Well, I think that, and again, we should, I mean, when you get right down to it, the only say we have in the federal government, I mean, we can write letters, we can make phone calls, you can do that White House petition thing that they have on the White House website, and the royalty team, or whatever you want to call them, the overlords, can choose whether or not to respond to it or not. But, you know, except for the elections, we really don't have any real say on what the federal government...
Well, no, because President Obama has decided to do what he wants to do, and he doesn't give a damn about the Constitution or about any laws or anything else. For example, religious institutions, churches, and schools have been ordered by Obama to provide contraceptives and abortion stuff, pills, whatever, to get health care, and as a part of health care requirements. Well, we can't do that according to our Constitution. That's not something we can mess with. Religious institution, churches, schools, that's something that we can't touch. But he's doing it right now. He's doing it because he can. And we don't, and that's the thing is, you and I are the ones to blame for this, you know, because we don't tell him he can't do it. We don't stand up and yell and scream and holler and decide that he can't do all this sort of thing. We're letting him do it, and so consequently he's going to do whatever he can get away with.
Well, and you hit the nail right on the head, because the Constitution is there as part of the check and balance system. That's why we have the system of government that we have. And I've constantly brought up the point on previous shows that what happens when we have a rogue president. You know, how many times have we heard, not just the Obama administration, but other administrations where they go send troops overseas and Congress is begging, Mr. President, please enact the War Powers Act so we can have a say. Well, in this day and age, the 21st century, you know, 5 seconds is a long time and can create a lot of damage.
So that was the interesting part about realizing 50 years ago we didn't have the internet. 5 seconds meant something.
Right.
I mean, you could do something in that time, and you can even do something and then correct it in that time. And nowadays, you do it, and once you've done it, once you've got it on the internet, you're stuck with it.
Yeah, exactly. Just like everything we say on this program.
We're stuck with it. It's there, and it's done, and someone can hear it, and they can act on it, and like us or not like us, depending on that.
Yeah, and whatever watch lists were put on and were recorded for all eternity.
See, that's just, you know, Obama has, for example, placed the moratorium on offshore drilling. He said that we can't do that. And yet we've a lot of gas and, well, it's oil, I guess, before it's gas, but it's crude oil, is in offshore drill. And well, just, I got to understand why he changed his didn't change his tune. He made the ruling that you can't drill offshore, because if it screws up, if it leaks out, it makes a mess. And it does create a huge problem. But if we don't do that, we have a huge problem at home. And so what does it cost us? Whether it costs us a problem cleaning up the offshore oil drilling spill, or whether it costs that much more to get the oil. You're about half, 6-1 one day and half of the other. So that's why we're sending money to Mexico and letting them drill and send them the oil back to us. So we're paying for them too. So it's I don't know. There are some logical things that he does and some not too logical things that he pulls off.
Well, and to top it off, I mean, how many times has he said that if Congress won't do it, I will?
Well, it would be nice if we would. You know, that's the thing, is we don't do it. We just let Congress do it. And if Congress doesn't want to be bothered, if we've not elected the right people, and we've got an election coming up before too long, and we've got to be thinking real hard about this in the election, because the idea of things not getting done, it's going to be up to us again. Up to us. We're the ones who are electing people, and if we don't elect the right people, things are not going to get done. Or if we elect the wrong people, things are going to get done wrong. That's the most important thing. And we can screw up this country real easy. We went and saw that by electing a president that nobody, you know, I think nobody even considered how bad he could do, how bad it could be.
They fell for the sound bites. And that's just the thing is, you know, and there's no excuse for not doing the research on a candidate with the internet. But just, you know, that's the whole point. People fall for the sound bites. They don't do their research. They just kind of, in fact, a lot of people just don't even want to be bothered with politics anymore.
Really? Really. And nobody wants to read anything, even though it's so easy to do now on the internet, because it's available. You can, if you're blind like me, you can raise it. You can make the print bigger. You can, no matter what. I mean, it may take you a little bit longer at a letter per page to read something, but you still can read it.
Exactly.
You got to be pretty blind to need a whole letter per page.
But you know, that's just the whole thing. And again, too, I keep referring back to this last election about how much of a farce it was. It was a joke. It was a circus act. But again, too, the media, which I'm going to put blame on media. You know, you have some good candidates out there, but there's only the top few that they actually invite to the debates or actually give any attention to them at all. And the good people, you know, they don't have a chance, really. It's all like it's predetermined.
Well, I disagree with you wholeheartedly there. Disagree with you wholeheartedly. Because the reason they're doing that, I mean, unless you are actually, as a media, unless you're actually pushing that candidate at the bottom of the poll, he's not going to get anywhere. He's going to say what he wants to say, and people are not going to listen because he's not the one saying it right. Unless, I mean, you're damned if you do and damned if you don't. And if you're going to do it, then you'll get blamed you'll get accused of being biased towards that guy. And that's not the way it's going to work. If you get, all right, you have 10 people up on a podium and they're all going to do a debate. Mm. Okay, only five of them really have anything to say and have been saying it on the air and the public and doing the whole thing. The other five have never been heard of. But you're going to put them on your debate because they are there legitimately and they have filed for office. But when they get up there, whatever they say, people are not going to listen to them. People are not going to pay any attention to them. If they and so, you know, what are you going to do? Ask them questions when nobody's ready to? I mean, it's a point where
debates are boring.
What?
Debates are boring.
Oh, heavens no. Heavens no. Debates are not boring if they're done right.
But a lot of times they're not done. I think they should do it like the X Factor.
Which is what?
Our American Idol. You know, go up there, you got your panel, and, you know, make it entertaining.
Make it entertaining? How can you make a debate entertaining?
Well, or for some reason, you know, to get people to get more involved. But I will say one thing, though, and again, getting back to the last election, you know, when you got people like Sarah Palin and Donald Trump that are out there wasting the time and being distractions by, you know, I may run, I may not run, and I may, you know.
But you're saying that we still got to give them time.
Right.
And I don't think so. Well, I don't think we need to give them time. Unless they have something to say that's legitimate, unless they have something to say that's pertinent, we don't have to give them time.
No, I agree, but also like again, Trump and Palin, they didn't register to be running. You know, but what they were doing, they were paying, they were playing for their own little personal gain and taking. America was so desperate for a better candidate that they were actually considering Donald Trump, even though he was teasing just to push his program.
Well, I understand what you're saying, and I agree with you. And why we let Donald Trump say anything at all, I have no idea. I don't believe we should have. But the news media, I mean, he shouldn't have been in a debate. In fact, he wasn't in a debate, was he?
Not.
But the news media goes out and goes and listens to him. And he was making news because the man has a lot of money, and the man can be very influential. And he could easily have joined in the race if he'd wanted to because he has enough money to do it. So consequently, the media did go in and talk to him and talk about him. And they needed to. I mean, you have to talk about him because he has so much money. That's just all there is to it.
He actually came out and said that, well, you know, I'm going to come out with an announcement. I may or may not be running for president. And so he threw out that, kept throwing out that teaser. And then when, you know, he gave a date that when he was going to make the announcement, he said, well, you know, I'm too busy with my TV show to actually consider it. Well, then why did you open up your mouth and in the first place, except, of course, you know, to promote his television program, The Apprentice.
Well, the thing is, it was television promoting him, so I guess they have the option of doing that. You know, it's not because, well, he could pay for it. It's not because he couldn't pay for it. So, I mean, he didn't get that much promotion.
Well, speaking of promotion, again, this book, which is called Impeachable Offenses, The Case for Removing Barack Obama from Office, which is available on Amazon.com right now, which is a journalistic investigation document of probable causes for the impeachment of the president. And they go into details, and they say that not only Obamacare is unconstitutional, but illegally bypasses Congress, infringes on states' rights, marks suspension of the IRS powers. Even though the Supreme Court ruled it constitutional, because again they changed the wording from a fine to a tax, and they also talk about how Obama sidestepped Congress and granted largely unreported amnesty to millions of illegals, which also placed the U.S. in a way in danger, not just because of illegals, but because of open borders. In fact, we had here in Oregon, in Lane County, recently, one of the largest drug busts that we've had in 15 years, with over, was it $3 million, $30 million?
Oh, 3,000 marijuana plants were found, and $20 million bucks.
Yeah, $30 million. 16 people were arrested. Now, here's the thing, and a little side note here, because I wrote an article on this on one of my blogs, is that I heard about it on local radio, and I like to try and cite my sources as much as possible, you know, for credibility reasons. And I had a heck of a time finding the quote that the news services said that multiple suspects had multiple deportations from the United States back to Mexico. This is according to the sheriff's, Lane County Sheriff's spokesman. The local media here kind of forgot to mention that part.
Oh, really?
Yes. It took. In fact, I was doing a Google search, and Google wouldn't even come up with it. I had to use a different type of search engine, one that searches multiple engines, to actually find the sheriff's quote. So just a little side note. Anyway, the sheriff's office is trying to figure out if these people have ties to the Mexican drug cartels, and of course the suspects are saying they don't. But and also, what's kind of interesting, at the same time, according to the Washington Times, Obama adds to the list of illegal immigrants not to deport, and that is parents. So,
According to the news media today because they've gotten it broken down and turned into an actual story. But the Register Guard had it in their newspaper. 3,000 plants near West for $20 million minimum.
Right. That's and, a paper if people are wondering.
So if they wanted to read about it, they could do that. But, you know, they arrested 16 people on felony drug charges, but not 15 people were, they're still in jail. Well, they arrested actually 16 people. One of them was a juvenile, and they let him go.
Right.
Which I think was also, you know, you're pretty young people are quite knowledgeable about what they're doing when they're growing pot. So he could have been left in the catch as far as I was concerned. But I don't know why they decided that he should be totally free.
Well, they probably figured it wouldn't do any good because they are more after the big dogs than they are, you know, the pups.
Yeah. So, and then the thing is, they've got this stuff. They've got all this, these drugs, and yet they're still talking about them being cut with evidence of insecticides, fertilizers, rat poisons, and other chemicals that they put in there with them. And then want to make it go farther, to make the pot grow further, and they do this no matter what. I mean, you know, $20 million wasn't enough.
That's a lot of money. This is one of our, like Cliff said in Westboro, which is just done one of our forests. But like I said, as a side note, is that our open borders. We also have the thing that still hasn't been answered yet is the Fast and Furious, speaking of Mexico, the gun running operation, which, in fact, I haven't heard anything more about, what was it, Boehner was supposed to give evidence and refused to do it, and that kind of went to the wayside.
I think that whole thing is a put-up story. I think that people decide, well, so on and so forth, supposed to give testimony on this and that and the other, and then they don't do it, and they expect it to just go away by attrition, just to die a slow death on the vine, and people will forget about it. And we're doing it.
There's also a Congress actually recommended not to do this. There's a new UN resolution. I don't have it in front of me right now. That Obama's in favor of and is going to sign, that it's a treaty with the other countries that will actually affect gun ownership in the United States. And people are going, well, you know, what about the Second Amendment that, you know, guarantees my right to bear arms? Well, treaties, unfortunately, do have an effect on the individuals in the U.S.
What do you think, though? Do you think that you should have a right to carry any kind of a weapon you want?
Not any type of a weapon, but we should.
Then who is to decide what?
Say again?
Then who is to decide what?
They're deciding what type of weapon, or even if you can carry a weapon.
Wait a minute, who's they?
The treaty.
The treaty?
The treaty, the UN treaty that the president wants to sign.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So if we're sitting back and letting several countries get together and decide what we can carry and what we can't.
Exactly.
Well, that's actually a little better than what was decided before. I mean, before somebody just sit there and decided, you know, you can carry a handgun, but you can't carry a rifle. But on the same token, if you're going to go out and shoot a deer to eat, you're going to need a rifle. You're not going to need a handgun. So you can change your mind. Or if you want to shoot ducks and geese and stuff, you still need a rifle. And so,
well, of course, if the UN had it their way, we'd also be paying what's called a global income tax to kind of help third world countries as well.
Well, you know, that's something I've thought about too. I don't know if that's good or bad, because we are helping them. We're just giving them money. Now, whether we give them money voluntarily or knowingly or just, see, by paying a tax on something, like a global income tax, you know, it can be spread out and be $2 a month for everybody in the world. And that you'd never miss that. But it would really make a huge difference as far as global hunger and all that sort of thing is concerned. And we've got a lot of that that's still going on.
Well, that's true. But anyways, it'd be interesting. Again, the book is available on Amazon, Impeachable Offenses, The Case for Removing Barack Obama from Office. It's you can get it for $13 on Kindle, hardcover for $15.57, or you can, of course, have it delivered in other methods. So the book is also, when Congress comes back in session in September, the author of the book, Aaron Klein, is going to be giving copies to Congress and hopefully, you know, giving them evidence, supposedly, to be able to at least bring up a discussion. And like one congressman says, that even if it is, going to die in the Senate, if enough people do it, then maybe it might, send a message. But unfortunately, they don't care, is what it really boils down to.
That's what a lot of cases. That's our Congress just doesn't care, and you know, unless the whole country is totally impervious to that and just doesn't care, where are we going? We've got the wrong people in office, and we need to change that. That's what I say. We got an election coming up. We've got to think pretty hard about that. You got to get off your dead ass and research these things and find out about them. It's not that hard to do. Almost everybody. Now, I notice I said almost. Almost everybody has the internet, has a computer. And of that, almost everybody who has it, almost everybody knows how to use them. And it's easy to look up this information on a person or a group of people that are running for office. And be able to vote intelligently. And intelligently is whatever you want to vote as. And then if I thought that the population of the United States voted intelligently on a congressman, for example, if I thought it really did vote intelligently, then you almost have to go along with it, even if I didn't believe it or didn't agree with them. That it means that they did think about it and did think he was the right man for the job or person for the job. I can't remember.
Well, here's the problem. I've had an opportunity about a month ago to sit down one-on-one for about 2 hours with a lady that's running for Oregon Senate. And now I've met with other people before. I've met with somebody that was running for governor at one time, and it was, I won't mention his name, but it was like talking to a used car salesman. You know, all it was is, you know, it's kind of looking past you and giving out sound bites. So this person here, I could tell, you know, was speaking from the heart, and I still have, conversations with her and stuff. And I truly believe that she would be a good person and that her heart's in the right place. Now, here's the bad thing about it. Unless you're willing to play hardball to get into office, good people are not going to make it.
Yeah, that's a problem. That is a major problem. Good people and even good people with money are going to have a terrible time, because if you're not saying the right thing, of course, that's the case. If you're not saying the right thing, then you're not meeting the right people. You're not influencing the right people. The largest number of people, then you're not going to get there. And maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah, well, you got to know how to play the game to get in there. And, you know, like, it's like the thing in business. You know, you could be great at your trade, but very seldom is somebody that's great at their trade also a good business person. Or you could be a good business person, not bad at your trade. You know, it's hard to be all of everything.
But the thing I'm worried about is here's a person who's great at being a politician, but doesn't know what the hell she's talking about or he's talking about.
Right.
I don't want him in there.
Are there good salesmen?
But he is going to get in there because he can talk his way through.
Exactly.
And we've got too many of those already.
Well, again, one of the things that, go back to 2008 and do a search for the debates between Clinton and Obama and listen to what he was talking about. Because he was talking about one of his things that he would do would be making the White House more transparent for the first time, that things would, when they're introduced, will be actually put out on the Internet so people, the general public, can read them. Well, how many times since the election that we heard that we got to rush this bill through, you know, which Obamacare is one of them, all 2,000 some odd pages. Got to rush this stuff through. This stuff's never been on the Internet for people to see, for people to comment on.
You know, I have to say this. You can't really use Obama as an opinion. He's already been proven that very little he says is coming out the truth end. He talks just to be talking, just to hear himself talk. He talks out both sides of his mouth constantly. You can't believe a word that he says. And we know that already by now. And
well,
so, go
well,
ahead.
It's just what I was going to say as well, just like the debate with Obamacare. If you look at the debate between him and Clinton, even he comes out and says the problem with Hillary Care is that, like Massachusetts, that people are going to wind up paying a penalty and still not have insurance. And he says that's wrong. Well, now we have Obamacare, which you're going to wind up paying a penalty and still not have insurance. It's the same thing he was arguing against that we got now. That's the law.
Right, right. Well, see, that's, again, I don't believe he had an idea of what his law was going to be until after all of this was over. And so, consequently, that's one of the things he heard. I think he probably just included it in there because it sounded good, because it was a way to do it. I don't believe anything that he says. I don't believe anything that he does. But, you know, he's the one we're talking about impeaching now.
Right. Well, the thing is that there's still people out there that support everything he's doing, which is also why he got reelected. You still have the people out there that are looking for the free stuff, like the free Obama phone, which there is no such thing as the free Obama phone. You know, again, people are looking at the sound bites, and now we're all going, what happened? Well, you didn't do your homework.
Well, somewhere along the line, we've lost eyesight of the state is the boss. The states are the boss. The states are the ones who can tell the federal government what to do. The state is the top end of things. Yet we seem to let the federal government do the telling.
Well, I tell you what's happened is that usually, as far as especially the federal government, we don't think about them because they normally, except for the end of the year when we have to file our taxes, they don't have really much of a effect on our daily lives. The Obamacare actually does, because it's actually forcing people to purchase a product. In fact, since that opened that door, they could come out now and say, okay, well, we're going to force you to go buy health insurance. Maybe we're next going to force you because we feel that people should have it to go out and purchase some other product. Maybe it might be a requirement for safety. Everybody's got to have a cell phone. Who knows? But, you know, now the federal government can come out into people's lives now, because as of 2014, it is going, if you don't have health care, it is actually going to cost you, unless you are, I think it's under the 400% poverty level, it's actually going to cost you a penalty. And, you know, In 2016, when Obamacare is in full effect, again, if you don't have qualifying insurance, it can cost you literally about $2,100 a year, and you still won't have health insurance.
Well, not only that, we're setting insurance aside. Look at how what they're doing to eavesdrop on us, what they're doing to listen to our telephone calls, to not, if they say, okay, well, we're not listening to the actual call, we're just, you know, we can tell who called what, who called who, where they're going to and from. They can tell an awful lot by that, we're still not saying anything about that. We're not making enough noise about that, and that's the important thing of the day. That's the big news of the day that we should be yelling and screaming and hollering about and doing something about it. And we're not. We're just sitting back and letting them happen. And we're just letting them do whatever they want to do. Letting the federal government run roughshod over everything we do.
Well, that's because people are going, well, I don't care. I'm not doing anything wrong.
That's true. That if you're not doing anything wrong, you shouldn't have anything to fear. But that's the problem. There's an awful lot of times when you're not doing anything wrong and somebody can hear it, something, and read it wrong or hear it wrong or think it's wrong, and still gets you're all wound up in all kinds of courts and in all kinds of trouble, and it costs you money and time and whatever to get out of it. Even if you're found that you're right, you still spent all that time and money getting there.
Right.
You know, like with Zimmerman right now, at least the federal government is obligated to pay part of that money back, not all of it, but part of it. What money they're used to actually buy physical things, they have to pay back. They don't have to pay back the lawyer's time, but they do have to pay back. So they're still talking about a couple hundred thousand, $300,000.
And that should be a part of the thing for the impeachment process as well. Because, first of all, Obama doesn't respect his office. He should have never have opened his mouth in the Zimmerman case or any case similar to that. Because what he did is it was an open and shut case, and he's ruined somebody's life because of doing it. And it's not the place of the president to make comments on a case like that, for the first thing. So, here's a person that has no respect for the office, has no respect for the Constitution. He's actually, like I said, he's come out and actually said that the Constitution gets in his way. He's no respect for Congress. You know, again, going by my feeble memory, when he told Congress to go on a holiday and then he brought some people on board using his presidential powers, because while Congress is on holiday, you know, he can do that. Well, then the courts ruled, no, you can't, after the fact. You know, it's just all, and this is just the stuff that we're hearing in the news. It's just like technology. What is it that, the thing to be scared of is what we're not hearing.
Yeah, what's happening behind our backs. And a lot, I think, an awful lot is happening behind our back.
Exactly. And just like Nancy Pelosi, you know, says, well, you know, got to pass the bill to know what's in it. Well, what else is going on that we got?
You keep bringing that up, and I didn't understand that when she said it. That doesn't make sense.
Not make sense. It's stupid.
Right. And okay.
They've already putting delays, 1 year moratoriums on implementation of Obamacare, for example. You know, with 2,100 pages, roughly. They already had to take out a few things. Like one was, and it shouldn't have been in there, one of the first things that they had to take out was, for example, if you purchased anything over $600, you had to give the company a 1099. Well, if you're a truck driver, every time you fill up, you have over $600 in fuel, so you're giving out 1099s to every time you fill up, which is a tax nightmare. Well, that's one of the things that they took out. But what was that doing in the health care plan?
You know, I the thing is, every branch of the government, all three branches, the president, the House, the Senate, they have in their office, in their oath of office, something somewhere to uphold the Constitution. Every one of them has that, and all of them have sworn to uphold the Constitution, and yet none of them are bothering to do it.
No.
So now, why are we letting these people go through this? I mean, why are we letting them do this with and just ignore exactly, just decide exactly what they're going to do and what they're not going to do, and what their job is and what isn't supposed to be? It's, you know, other people have to live within their means again, and none of our elected officials have to do that.
Well, that's why they're saying that they should also, because the Congress has ruled themselves exempt from Obamacare, and that's why the 28th Amendment has been suggested, that if you pass a law, it also affects you. The other thing is that, getting back to my earlier comment, is that until Obamacare became law, most of the stuff that happens in the federal government does not affect us. You know, we go like the thing with Syria or Egypt or whatever's going on over there, except for hearing it in the news. If you even pay attention to that, it doesn't bother you unless you have friends or family that are in the military. It doesn't affect your daily lives. And so just like that one coworker that I worked with when it came to Memorial Day, you know, she goes, what is it? Why should I care? How does it affect me?
Well, that's the thing you don't realize. That's oil at $150 a barrel is going to affect you. And that's going to be a result of Obama's his constitutional, his interpretation of what's happening and what he's doing. I mean, that is going to affect you. It is absolutely going to affect you. And between various and sundry things that Obama has done, it's going to affect even more, because he's not allowing us to get the oil on the offshores, and he's making us buy the oil from them, and they're not going to sell it to us. So that's going to make a difference. So the idea of Obamacare, not Obamacare, but things that Obama does are not going to affect you, it's not true. They are going to affect you.
Yeah, but that doesn't affect you in the same way, and I'll give you an example, especially with debit cards. You know, when I go to the gas pump, I fill up, it costs me $50, you know, to fill my tank. And it's like, okay, I whine and moan about it. I have to have it. I'm sorry. You know, and that's about as far as it gets. You know, I bitch and moan, okay, fine, here's $60, you know, took me a week to make it, whatever, and then you go on, do your thing. Why it's $60, I don't know. What can be done? We keep hearing Congress saying they're going to do an investigation of it, never comes of it. And we go on to the next thing.
Well, the thing is, you don't have to think about it. You don't have to know who and what. All you have to do is prevent Obama from screwing with other countries, and so that they'll continue selling to us. You know, it's a direct result of him doing what he's doing, and it's a direct result of not only them, our government,
the whole system. It's just like the super committee that the Gang of Eight or whatever it was regarding the budget. You know, trying to prevent the government shutdown. I was amazed, you know, of how many companies donated money to this group to try and lobby for what, you know, for what they want. It's like, first of all, why in the hell are you giving money to these guys for the Gang of Eight to come up with a solution for the government budget anyways? That's the thing right there, is that, you know, there's too many people that have gone into Washington. They're average people or whatever. They might make $100,000 a year. They come out millionaires, and it's all about money. We need to take the money out of it and get them back in there for the real reason why they're in there in the first place.
Well, unfortunately, I think a lot of it has turned around, and the real reason they are there is to make money.
Absolutely.
And it's not...
How do they do that?
They are there. They're doing what they intended to do, not what their job description intends them to do, but what they intended to do.
Right. I mean, like going to war or whatever. I mean, you would think that the U.S. would be you know, love and peace or whatever, that we would do the best thing that we can do to stay out of it. I don't know the count of how many wars that we are actually in right now, but again, there's money in war. We've had congressmen that have actually said that the best way we can do to save the economy is to get into a war.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. That's obvious.
That's a pretty sad state of affairs. And we criticize other countries for this type of thinking. In fact, we've got involved in the political side of other countries because we don't like the way they think.
Well, yeah. I guess we have to change our opinion of what war is and make a war on the border the next war, because that way we can, you know, all the money goes to us. As troops are staying at home, we're buying tanks and things from home. I mean,
none of that is going to happen. And like I said, Obamacare is one of the first things that's when people actually start having to purchase insurance or start getting their certificates or starting to have to pay the penalties that directly affect the people. Otherwise, people are not going to get away from their football. They're not going to get away from their American Idols or their X Factors or whatever else, their television. I mean, I criticize that, but I go back to 9/11 when we were attacked. How many people called? A lot of people called the TV stations complaining that their show was, The Price is Right, was interrupted.
Yep. Yep.
Now, that's sad. That's why I call it the bubble wrap society, because, you know, the outside world is pretty dangerous, and we've been pretty isolated and pretty lucky for the most part. You know, but then when something actually happens here, we don't take it serious. And now we've given a lot of our freedoms, you know, thanks to the TSA and other things, it's like locking the barn door after the horse got out.
The thing is, we've done that. We're already at that point now. So we're either going to have something radical happen, something drastic happen, even more drastic than the 9/11 thing or whatever, to wake us up. And perhaps we've gone by the thing again. We're here, you know, real estate is going up, wages are going up, everything is going up. Our whole economy is going up slowly, true, but it's going up, and we're going to be back right where we were. We haven't accomplished a thing.
Well, and if we have another event like that, we've already got technology. In fact, technology is already being used for facial recognition, license plate recognition. We've already, the NSA has been exposed and monitoring millions of people's communications, citizens' communications, without having to have a warrant.
Well, all the stuff that we're yelling and screaming and hollering about right now, but we're not doing anything about it.
Right.
So it's going to keep happening. And it's going to keep building, and it's going to keep working that way. And, you know, it's going to be really interesting to find out. I'm really can't wait until we get some people to start running for office for the next election, because what's going to happen? Are we going to sit back and play the same game we did last time?
Well, I hope not.
Well,
as long as we still got, I mean, even a forum like we have here, you know, which is part of our constitutional rights, First Amendment, why we can have a radio program such as this, where we're getting out literally to the U.S. and to the world. But they would love to cut us off, or to cut programs like this off, you know, where they're getting direct feedback from the people. That's the advantage of media like this versus going, you know, calling your local or nationwide talk shows, you know, because it's filtered. You don't really get the true thoughts of the people.
That's true. And I hope we can accomplish something. And when we get the next person's running for office, I hope we can find out something and perhaps even get them on and talk to them, but ask the proper questions, or ask the questions. There's got to be some questions that we can ask that aren't ever being asked on the local radio shows or talk shows. There's got to be some things that they don't want to tell you, and I would like to find out what they are.
Well, how about just asking questions that people want to know? I mean, it annoys me when I hear candidates that are being interviewed and they just like, well, do you really think you can win against your opponent? No, I'm running because I'm bored. What the hell you think?
Yeah, really. I don't know. But so many times the networks who are asking these questions, they've got to come up with something different. I've heard them come up with weird questions just because this is the third debate and the other questions have all been used.
Exactly. Well, they're afraid to ask the tough questions. For one thing, are they just not doing their research? That's the biggest problem right now, is that you don't have investigative reporting.
Well, that's true.
Or very little of it. And, you know, when something actually does come out, I mean, just like the what I was saying earlier regarding, you know, the drug bust here in Lane County, you know, they didn't they filtered the facts to make it politically correct.
I don't quite understand how you.
In other words, you know, the information about the 16 that was arrested, but who knows? I just hope that in the next election, it's not going to be a dog and pony show again like it was in this one. We need to, like you said, we need to hold people to the fire. We need to take notes. We need to not fall for the sound bites. We need to learn from well, it's going to be 8 years by the time next election comes up. But anyways, we need to learn from the last couple of years and remind people why they're there. Why are we electing them and not just fall for the sound bites and not be afraid to ask the serious questions and actually, I'm going to give credit to what happened in New York recently. I don't remember the guy's name, but somebody that's running against Bloomberg, which anybody should run against Bloomberg. limiting sodas. I mean, come on. I demand to reserve my right to be fat. But the guy had a sketchy history, I guess, for sexting and other stuff like that. And so, okay, well, you know, I apologize. I'm coming out. I'm running. And people just basically said, you know what? Screw you. Go away. And that's what we need to do, you know, is instead of being blinded by the sound bites, they actually went back and, okay, this is what you did. You're a creep. Go away.
Well, you know, interesting with the soda pops and things like that, that there's got to be money somewhere. He made money or somebody made money by limiting the amount of soda pop you have. And there's got to be something where there's money in that, because let's face it, at this particular point, I don't believe there's much of anybody, and I'm not saying there's no one, but I don't think there's very many, who aren't in politics for the money. That's what they're there for.
Well, that's the thing, is if they follow the money. I mean, like Bloomberg, for example, putting a limit on how the size of the soft drink, forcing you, if you want, you know, your 32-ounce Big Gulp, you got to buy 2 16-ounces. Well, I believe in New York you have a sales tax, so now you got to pay more in sales tax, or there's your money.
That's possible. Okay. I'll accept that. But that's the thing about it. Somewhere along the line, everybody's got to be in it for the money. And there's got to be money that Bloomberg was in it to get himself as well. I mean, because if it's just taxes, supposedly he's not getting the taxes.
No.
The state,
he gets to push his projects and or create money for the coffers, because when you think about it, why would he do that? Why would he, with everything that, and I'm going to go again here locally, we got a lot going on here. We don't have money for police, so we're laying off officers, we're letting people out of the jail because we don't have bed space, but yet we're raising taxes and spending money for other things. So when you get right down to it, yeah, it may not be the personal thing, but with everything that's going on, like in Bloomberg's saying, why worry about people's sugar intake when there's more important things to worry about, I guess is where I'm going with all that.
You know, the thing that gets to me is here we are saying this bit about the money that we got coming in here. The thing is, there's got to be a point. I lost my point of my train of thought trying to figure out what I was going to say. That's interesting.
The point was you lost your point.
Yep. Well, we're running out of time anyway, so we're long past when we're going to quit.
Now, well, actually, we got 5 minutes remaining in the program, and again, still time to give us a phone call, 646-721-9887. But yeah, I definitely, if nothing else, as our main topic is impeachable offenses, the case for removing Barack Obama from office, is available on Amazon.com, and I highly recommend it. At least if nothing else, going in and checking the description of it, because they make some pretty good points, and if nothing else, it's something more to bitch and moan about, because Congress really isn't going to do anything. And even if he was going to do something, because almost every administration had some people saying, well, let's impeach the president. Well, it's a mute point, because it's just not going to happen.
Well, that's true. But if you want to do something to make your voice heard or your ideas known, you can go out and stand on this on the overpasses and hold a poster.
Yeah.
There are many, many states where there are people doing that. There are 17 states standing on in fact, there's more than that now, standing on holding posters. And there's, in Oregon, there's, I think, like 11 different outfits or people where you can sign up to go work with them and stand with them and help them. And you can at least have your point of opinion known, and by to more than, well, I don't know how many more, however many people go by the freeway. I mean, there's a lot of people on the freeway every day.
Overpass.org is the site that organized this, and to remind them, as the preamble says, we the people. And that's what we need to remind the government, that it's we the people, not we the government. And that's a lot of what they kind of forgot. And again, that's what I'm saying, is that's what one thing that Obamacare is hopefully going to do, because it will affect the individual directly, and hopefully people will do their research, will get involved. You know, they say send cards, letters, make phone calls. Well, they say it does. Sometimes it does good, sometimes it doesn't. But, you know,
I think it's better if you find a place online that has the opinion that you have and sign up with them, because I think numbers do count.
Exactly. Just like there's a website out there, you can do a search for it on Google. It's called Defund Obamacare, and it's an online petition. Last time I checked, there's over 200,000 people, and that was to urge your representatives to defund Obamacare, which is really the only thing we can do to stop it at the moment, because it is going to be a train wreck, and it is going to cause a lot of people a lot of heartache financially, especially in this, which they still are denying, a recession. So
that's true. Yes, we haven't gotten out of the recession yet, but I think we're getting there. Only if we get it the way we're going, if we get out of that recession, we're going to get back into another one soon. So it's scary.
Well, again, we're out of time, and thank you for joining us, and people in the chat room, thank you again for checking us out. We'll be back again next Wednesday, 1 p.m. Pacific time. If there's something that's on your mind, send us an email, talk@krbnradio.com, and we'll see you next week.
Bye. Check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.